Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. This is the season of gift giving, but what if the gifts that we really value are the gifts of presence and creativity? Today, we'll be talking about the gifts of creativity during challenging times, which we certainly are living in today. I am delighted that my guest today is Mary Ann Monson. She's the founder and president, the executive director of the Writers Guild in Astoria. She's also the author of 12 books for children and adults with an emphasis on women's history. Mary Ann holds an MFA in creative writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts and has taught writing at a number of colleges and universities. Thank you so much for being here today, Mary Ann.
Thanks for having me, Donna. It's always such a pleasure to be with you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, before we talk about the gifts of creativity in challenging times and how all of us have within us creative spark in some area of our lives, maybe with buried that we don't know about yet, but please let the listening audience know a little bit more about you for those of you who aren't familiar with you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I am a writer and a teacher and an artist in a few different capacities. And I've been lucky enough to be connected with Astoria since 2017. So I think just past 8 years in August. But I grew up in Chicago and spent a couple decades in Portland before I was lucky enough to land in Astoria. And I just love this community and feel so nurtured by the people and the landscapes around us.
And you noticed when you moved here that though there were many artists of all types here, there really wasn't something like a Writers Guild. And for those people who don't know what the Writers Guild is, why don't you tell us about it and also the history of a guild?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I spent some time in Portland. And while I was there, I became familiar with some really amazing literary arts orgs there, like right around Portland and literary arts, Word Crafters in Eugene, just doing some really wonderful work that aligned closely with my passions. And when I moved to Astoria, I got connected with Astoria Visual Arts and just started thinking about how great it would be to have, you know, a literary arts companion organization. So actually the president at the time of ABA, Lisa Smith, who I think a lot of folks know in our community, she was really instrumental in helping me and some other writer friends set up the first board and get the organization going. But we're really committed to supporting the literary arts, supporting writers, supporting readers, fostering the literary arts in our region. So yeah, that is what we do. And I think you asked about what a guild is, the word guild, like why we chose that particular word. So we explain on our website, but basically guild was like a medieval association of craftspeople who came together to celebrate their craft, to improve, you know, to share strategies and to share the work that they do with each other and that collectively harness their power for good in a community or in an area.
Yes, and everyone has stories within them. And I think Astoria, the Pacific Northwest, is a great place to be introspective, maybe to find some of those stories and bring them out. And so maybe you want to talk a little bit about what the Guild does. And I mean, you have a spring retreat. There are lots of events and things happening. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Writers Guild, and then we'll talk more about how each person, every single person listening to this, has within them this great gift, again, of presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, as well as creativity and how we can foster that.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, our primary goal is to support writers, you know, and in the creative process. I think there's a lot of resources, I guess, for writers who want to publish. And you know, if that's what somebody's goal is, that's great. They should do it. I've certainly, you know, appreciated working in the publishing world, both as an editor and as an author, and I love that. But the joy of creating something, of crafting words, of marking our lives, you know, and setting them down in some record, is a totally different thing, and that's primarily what we're focused on, but also helping folks who want to pursue publishing to do that. But so we do that in a lot of different ways. We have an ongoing workshop that's led for us by Asher Finch, who it's a Write Your Life Story, and it meets monthly on Zoom. We support writing and reading events in the communities, and that kind of changes depending on the needs and what we get asked for. We do have a writing group meeting at the library in person right now too. We do a literary arts, a creative writing festival in the fall, usually in October. This year we had Oregon Poet Laureate as our guest speaker, and last year we had Carl Marlantes, who I know a lot of folks know and probably came and enjoyed that event. So yeah, so I mean, I just think that we are committed to facilitating powerful, meaningful conversations with people who are writing, who are asking important questions, who are telling stories. And that really can be all of us, just like you mentioned. It is all of us. We all have a story to tell.
Indeed, we do. And you're doing right now, you're kind of focusing on doing some retreats, and there's a spring retreat. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And I would encourage people to go to the website of the guild and check out their website, because that will tell you some of their events. But why don't we talk a little bit about this spring retreat?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So it's called Writing Through the Tides of Life, a Restorative Writing Retreat. And our website is thewritersguild.org. So you can find all the info there. It's happening April 30th to May 3rd. We just opened registration. It's limited to 15 people and it may sell out. So it's at the Sou'wester Lodge in Seaview, Washington. And it's basically Thursday through Sunday. And the main leader for this retreat is Erica Berry, who she's an Oregon Book Award winner for her beautiful book Wolfish, which she's like it's a collection of essays specifically around wolves. So it's nonfiction. She writes nonfiction, but she also writes memoir, and I will be co-leading it with her. So we will be leading it together, and I'm so excited. The last year was our first one, and I got to lead it with Tella Adson, who's a Fisher poet, beloved to many folks in the area from that Fisher poet event. So it was just last year, it was just wonderful. It was just such a wonderful time to the Sou'wester is a wonderful place to enjoy nature. You're so close to the ocean, and it was just a wonderful group of folks who came together to share their stories. And writers at any stage of their career, you know, we had very beginning baby writers too. So any stage of the career is welcome. And if you need financial assistance with it, you could also write to us, email us through thewritersguild.org, and we have some ability to help with that.
That's great. And I think there's a lot more recognition that journaling, writing things down, really is helpful to our brains. Not only for remembering things, but for, finding out things. I mean, one of my heroes is Suleika Jawad. She wrote the Isolation Journals, and she has a Hatch online program. She's married to John Batiste. The two of them are wonderful. Visionary, creative people, and every single thing they do is about creativity. Which, if we lived our lives with more creativity, I think we would be happier and healthier. And so, how we manifest that is there are lots of ways to do it, like gift giving. Let's say that now we're talking about, oh, it's the holiday season, we have to go buy something. Well, instead of buying something, what if you create something to give to someone? Because those are the most precious things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that right now there can be such an emphasis on feeling like money is the only thing that creates value, you know, and that we have to give others something that is maybe financially expensive. And it's just not true. You know, I think if any of us reflect on the most precious physical objects in our lives, they're usually not objects. Like, they're usually things that are precious to us because of the people and the relationships or the places, and it could be a relationship with a pet or with a tree or, a number of different things. But if I personally think about, like, what are the few physical objects that I would want to save if I needed to? It's like letters. It's handwritten letters, especially from my grandparents who have passed on, who I don't have anymore. And that's something that we can all do is sit down. It's kind of a lost art form anymore, right? The handwritten letter. But even if we don't like our handwriting, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be from us. And that's what gives it its meaning, right?
Right. And it doesn't have to be great literature. It's just an expression from the heart. It's a creativity, a creative urge that comes up. And whether you send somebody a doodle that you made or whether you, I mean, I always ask my daughter, Lulu, who's a visual artist, don't buy me anything for Mother's Day or my birthday or something. Just write something for me or draw something for me. Give me something that comes, from your heart, from you. And I think a lot of people are beginning to realize that. What are the most precious things? There are relationships. And our relationship with ourself obviously is paramount because through writing, through doing things that are creative, we learn more about ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think there's a greater appreciation for, like, loved secondhand items, because I would say, besides letters, some of the other most precious gifts I've ever given or I've ever received have been items that have been passed down to my family. Like, one Christmas, my mom gave me, an object that I remembered from my grandmother's house, and she wrapped it up, and it was so precious and meaningful to me, and it still has a place of honor in my home. It's like those kinds of things, they can't be purchased for any price. The value
Exactly.
far
Yeah,
beyond.
and actually you brought to my attention Thriftmas. Let's talk about Thriftmas because that's something that's happening this month and it really kind of goes along with some of our conversation about, what is gift giving, and let's talk about Thriftmas.
Yes. So this is the it's so they Emily Engdahl started it in November for Thanksgiving, and I think it was in response to the concern over the loss of SNAP food benefits. But it was very successful, and so now they're doing 2 days in December, December 20th and 21st, and there's going to be a food swap on the 21st at the Armory from 10 to 2, and Thriftmas is oh, I guess it's Saturday and Sunday, both days, 11 to 4 at the Brew Building. So yeah, so those are two wonderful events, and I think people are they're able to have free gift wrapping, ornament making, community gift exchange, and it's not giving up things that you purchase but that you already have, and you can go make cards. You can get your, if you have kids, you can get their faces painted. Actually, anybody of any age can get their face painted. But yeah, it's just about community and coming together and sharing.
So does that mean that if you have, let's say, a painting that you decide you don't really, you don't have room for in your house anymore, you've changed your decor, whatever, do you bring that then and say this, if someone wants this, well, gosh, I think I'd like to have, that vase that you have or something, I mean, is that what it's
I think
about?
that's exactly what it's about. It's kind of like new or gently new item, gently used items, like things that you wouldn't mind giving as a gift, to a friend. And you can, they're rounding those up right now. And I think you can find out more at astoriaharvest.org is the website that I'm seeing.
Okay, that's great. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, I have the good fortune of speaking with Mary Ann Monson. She is the founder, president, and executive director of the Writers Guild of Astoria. She has written 12 books for children and adults with an emphasis on women's history, and she holds an MFA in creative writing from Vermont College of Fine Arts. She's taught writing at a number of colleges and universities, and she's co-facilitating a retreat in the spring at the Sou'wester, and today we're talking about the gifts of creativity during challenging times. So Suleika Jawad, the woman I mentioned earlier, wrote herself through a very difficult diagnosis of leukemia when she was only 21. And that, she said, saved her life. So what is it about the arts, about maybe writing in particular, but all the arts that can save our lives and help us make sense of them?
I mean, I think that's such a good question. You know, my friend Cliff Taylor and I were having a conversation a few months ago where we were talking about this challenging time. And this is a time of destruction, a time of dismantling, a time when many people feel a great amount of fear and suffering. And Cliff and I were kind of talking about, like, how could we create the exact opposite energy? Like, what is the exact opposite energy? And put that into the world. And we both have books that are written about fairies, about little people and fairies. And we were saying that, like, basically, like, fairy poetry is maybe the exact opposite energy of everything else that's going on right now, you know. That was, like, the best that we could come up with, is like that maybe we needed to be writing more fairy poetry. But I think that it's really true that, like, we're craving some sort of antidote or opposite of all the heaviness, you know, and that as things are being dismantled and kind of turned upside down, that creating from our heart is the exact opposite of everything else that's going on right now, you know? And it's a small thing, but it's a really powerful and important thing. I was reading Braiding Sweetgrass recently. I know I'm really late to that party. It came out a few years ago and a lot of people loved it. It's Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. For if anybody else like myself is also late to the party, but it's written by a woman who is a botanist as well as a native Potawatomi Nation woman, and I hope I said it that correctly, but she really connects both of those. And she has this chapter about gift giving, Donna, that I think is so relevant. I don't know if you've read it, but she talks about, like, wild strawberries and how they just produce wild strawberries. Like, they just give from the essence of themselves. They're not looking to get something in return. They're not, like, it's not a bartering system. They're just taking from the essence of where they are, and they're just blossoming and putting this sweetness out into the world, you know, with no expectation. And she just talks about, like, how we all have wild strawberries within us and a desire to do that, you know, whether it's, like, you love to make sourdough bread, whether it's you love to watercolor paint, whether it's you love to play with Play-Doh with a child, you know, that simple act of creation, of beauty and of giving of your essence, without asking anything for return, it's really healing. It's healing to us individually. It's healing to us as a community, and it is healing to the world. So,
yes, well said. And I have to tell you, the servant, that I love her, and that book is incredible. I actually listened to it on Audible, and she reads it, and her voice is healing and soothing and so beautiful. So I listened to that, to Braiding Sweetgrass, on Audible, and then I read The Service Berry, which is her follow-up book, and The Service Berry talks about that exact same thing. You know, giving and receiving, it's all one. It's not a transactional thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everything in our culture seems to be transactional, but you're right. Nature, life gives us what we need to thrive. And however, we've done a pretty good job of screwing some of that up, unfortunately. But there is an opportunity for us to heal ourselves and heal others through the giving of what is already inside us. And everybody has stories inside. Everybody has, you know, has a talent. Even if people think they don't, they do. So how do you, as a person who's a guide, a writing guide, a creativity guide, how do you help encourage people who say, oh, I'm not really very creative? How do you deal with something like that?
You know, I just think creativity and writing is part of all of our birthrights. You know, even if we don't identify as a writer, we all have stories, right? And I think it's really easy to discount the value of our own stories, and to think, oh, you know, probably somebody out there has written this better. But there's a quote from Helen Keller, and she said, "I don't want to live in a world of hand-me-down stories." And she talked about how she wants to write her the own like her unique way of seeing the world, her unique experience of walking through the world. And despite the fact that she was both, you know, she was both blind and deaf, she was a prolific writer. And I think if she could overcome the challenges that she overcame, you know, there's not much of an excuse for all the rest of us, you know. It's fascinating though. It doesn't have to be a lot. Like my great grandmother, I actually didn't know anyone in my family had any connection to Oregon for a really long time. And when I came to Oregon, I felt this like amazing sense of coming home that really confused me because I had no family ties here. And then I found some writings from my great grandmother. And it turned out she had actually spent a lot of time in Eastern Oregon, where you are, Donna. And she had written poetry to how beautiful it was and about gathering blueberries, you know? And it was just such an amazing connection. I probably have 10 written pages from that great grandmother. But like through those 10 pages of poetry and some of like introspective, like where she shares a few stories of her life, I feel like I know her soul, and I'm so grateful for those 10 pages. And it's so much more personal than, you know, like all sorts of facts and information about her life would be, certainly than the kind of information we are often left with, which is just like a birth date, a death date, maybe an entry on a census, you know? Just the fact that she and I both responded so similarly to the beauty of spring in Oregon is such a deep connection point to me. You know, it just makes me feel like that was part of me coming home.
And that, what a beautiful story. And for those of you listening who think, oh, I wouldn't know what to write or where to start, you know, and the judgment factor that comes in, is this good or not good or whatever? Well, when you're writing something, a story of your, a story that's your story from your heart, it's not, we don't judge it good or bad. We, you know, and I think living with this wabi-sabi, imperfectly perfect or perfectly imperfect, you know, philosophical approach to life is really helpful to us. Because when we create something, we're bringing something new into the world. And when we share it with others, I mean, we're giving them a gift that is beyond, you know, measure, beyond, you can't measure that. So we just have a few minutes left, Marianne, and you said you might want to give people a few writing prompts, or you might want to just whatever else you'd like to talk about.
Yeah. You know, my professional work is mostly focused on women's history, and it's been interesting to collect those stories over the years. I primarily write about pioneer women, pioneer era women, and remarkable women who are less well known to history. But as I've collected those stories over the last, I think, 15 years at this point, which is crazy. But I've noticed certain patterns that have emerged from them, that a lot of times these women had challenging childhoods that really taught them resilience, you know? And then there was usually a crisis that they faced in their life that sort of called them to step into their life's work. And I think that there's just similarities in the kind of trajectory of all of our lives and the challenges that we face. So rather than thinking that you have to write your whole life story, you know, like maybe just write down what is one of the most challenging situations you've faced in your life to date. You know, just write a page about that. And then send it to someone. Or what is something that has been really meaningful to you personally? Like, where have you found a lot of joy in your life? And just write one page about that, or a paragraph, or a sentence.
A sentence is good. And I want to mention that you're doing a reading. Tell us about that too.
Yeah, actually, several of us are doing readings. So there was an encore series at the Senior Center with, I think, about 10 local writers. And they invited us back to do a reading. So we each gave like a 2-hour lecture. And now we're just reading our creative work for 10 minutes. But I think there's about 10 of us so far that are these local encore writers. So that's going to be happening at the Astoria Senior Center on Friday, December 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. And it's totally free and just a great chance to hear reading from some of our local writers. I can pull and up, see who is going to be there. I think Bob Pyle said he'll be there. I think Jim Dott is going to be there. I think Florence Sage will be there. I think Sean Davis will be there. John Simonello and myself and probably a few more. So
that's great. Thank you for that. And also for encouraging people, because you know, we're all writers, we're all readers, we're all of whatever it is. I mean, my daughter learned to read through Archie and Jughead and Veronica and Betty comic books, you know? So, I mean, there are many kinds of reading, many kinds of writing and visual art, all kinds of music. So just think about, I think, being creativity for its own sake, as you say, not for some end result, for its own sake, because it's a healing thing. It's in us. We're hardwired for that. And the gift of our presence or something we create this holiday season might be a new way to be in the world this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I think so. We all have wild strawberries inside of us, so we just need
Yes, we do. Thank you so much for making time for this, Marianne. Really appreciate it. And you can check out the writersguild.org to learn more about the organization and what they're doing. I wish all of you a very happy, thank you, Marianne, a very happy, healthy holiday season, discovering the gift of your creativity, which is within. And I want to thank all of you who listened to Talk of Our Towns. I want to thank Viri for being our engineer this morning and doing a superb job as always. Also, my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. And so now at the very end of this program and before next year, let's all stop, take a very deep breath together, which is so healing and a loving gesture, a gift to our bodies. And now focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be things that aren't going well. Focus on those with gratitude and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, for being here now in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.